Hey guys, welcome to this episode of The Elbow Show. So in today's extra special episode, it's going to be our first ever three-way podcast. And I'm going to be joined by a couple good friends, Masa, who has a channel with one video called Masa Loves Cars. You've probably seen him in some of my videos. He's the really wacky Japanese dude who lived in America for a while. So he's kind of like a, as he says in his own words, but I would agree, he's a banana. So he's like a white dude in an Asian body, or an American in a Japanese body. And our second guest is going to be Dustin Williams, who you guys probably know is one of the biggest car automotive YouTubers. He's based in California, but he comes here, he came here last year, and unfortunately due to coronavirus, he wasn't able to come this year. But, you know, we've been keeping in contact, and we've gotten better friends throughout the year. And the three of us are actually kind of like three buddies. So we have group chat, and we often talk about just like random car stuff. So we thought, hey, you know what? It'd be cool to do a podcast and just all catch up a podcast. Because as you guys know, I love doing these podcasts. They're just a lot of fun. And for some reason, you can just get into really interesting and really good conversations that are sometimes even more interesting. And you can go into like talk about different like totally different tangents than you would if you were just having a normal phone conversation or something like that. So anyways, without further ado, let me first introduce my first guest. It's Masa. We talk for the first 45 minutes. This is an hour and a half long podcast. So the first half is just with Masa, because at the time, Dustin Williams was still at the gym, of course, because, you know, he loves to work out. And actually, in this episode, we were hoping to get some tips about working out, but that'll have to be saved for the next podcast. In this podcast, we mostly talk, you know, a little bit about, I guess you could say, life in Japan, about car life, and about, you know, hopefully coronavirus ending soon and the borders for Japan opening up so that Dustin can come visit and hang out again. So I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Let me know what you thought, and I'm looking forward to, having these guys on for another podcast very soon. So enjoy the podcast episode and catch you guys at the end of the episode. Yo.
Hello.
Welcome, Master Love. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mr. Albo. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm quite sleepy. Yeah, I just pulled myself out of bed like 15 minutes ago. Are you on your way to work?
No, I'm off work now, so I'm off work today. Yeah, oh, that's nice. Why I could do it this podcast right now, actually.
Nice. I think this is your first time on my podcast, yep. Right? Yep, super easy. It's literally like when I call you or when you call me and we just talk, except now hundreds of people are listening. So
really?
Yeah, that easy. That easy. You should start one, just like you should make another YouTube video.
Well, making a podcast is much better than making a video.
It is, right? Because you just talk. Like, that's the cool thing about making a podcast.
Very easy.
Have you ever been on one? Have you ever done one?
Not that I know of, but I really wanted to do a podcast since, like, I've listened to your, you know, do you remember when you guys, when you were still doing a Huffington's thing? And yeah. Then you used NM and Cat in Cottage, yep. And doing some podcasts with.
Wow, that was like 2 years ago now. Yeah. Yeah, you have a good memory. I feel like you watch, or you, I feel like you know our catalog of content more than I do.
Yeah. Because I'm your fan, bro. Like, I was your fan.
it's just so funny for me to think about, because we're just friends now. Yeah. But yeah, it's I remember when we first met. Actually, maybe you can tell the story, because people always ask me, like, how did Masa meet you guys?
Yeah, so it's quite funny story. So actually, I know Albo since when he posted the Shitoko Hub Hunters thing, the one with the Supra is on
the Roulette Zoku video.
the thumbnail photo was a Supra, and I was like, oh my god, this guy is so cool. But us, you know, I really wanted to meet you in person at Daikoku's, but I don't know why, but we haven't, you know, bounced each other like a lot,
like, right, like at Daikoku or something. Like maybe we were there just on the same day, but like different area. Yeah, or something. Yeah,
usually. So I was like, oh, what a bummer. I wish I could meet him, but I followed your Instagram at the time, and I knew the TJ Hunt and Dustin Williams are in Tokyo. So I really wanted to meet them in person, but I texted them, but they didn't respond to me because obviously they have a lot of followers, and a lot of followers just DM them like every day. So I think they could, my DMs are all over. Like it's just filled up with a bunch of other DMs. So I was trying to look for, you know, a clue. And then all of a sudden you started posting these stories in Akihabara. And then, like, you know, and saying that, like, oh, we're going to meet with Dustin Williams and TJ Hunt. And I was like, holy shit. Like, if they're in Akihabara, then I could go there for, like, 30 minutes. And, like, and at the time, I was inside a car, maybe going somewhere. So I just detoured it and head straight to Akihabara.
Was it like in the movie where you're driving straight and you do, like, an e-brake drift and exactly. Turn around? Exactly. And you're like, triangulate location.
Well, essentially, yeah, kind of like that. And I was like, dude, I need to, if I, you know, track Albo's Insta story, then I think I know Akihabara because I've been to Akihabara multiple times. So like if Albo posted like something on an Insta story, then I could, you know,
figure out where it is by the landmarks in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So I was like, yeah, I was just, you know, doing, you know, like a stalker thing, you know, always, you know, trying to, you know, renew the Albo's Instagram and all the time. And like,
yeah, I mean, Akihabara is not a super big place. So I guess, you know, and it's once I upload a story, it's like I'm there right at that moment. So you're like, okay, I got like 20 seconds to get there kind of thing.
And I met you. And I think you were with the guy from Kings Must Rise, I think.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, like, we're all kind of just hanging out in, like, a big pack. Yeah. Kind of just wandering around aimlessly. You know how Akihabara is? It's just, like, all these lights. And so, for people listening, Akihabara is otherwise known as Electric Town. But it's also kind of famous as, like, Anime City, basically. So, it's just completely covered in all these huge anime, like pictures, posters, and all these arcades and bright lights, and yeah, anime and video games central. Yeah.
But essentially, it's a cool Japan town.
Yeah. It doesn't even feel real. Like if you're into like anime or something, it feels like it's literally.
Yeah, you're in that. You're in the anime. Like,
yeah.
Because it's just so unreal, you know, like. As for Japanese citizen, like that's like a normal thing, but as for foreigners, like you only seen like some animes where, you know, the backgrounds are filled with, you know, anime characters and like, you know, anime signs and AKB48 signs, and like if you're into that and like you want to visit that place, and then when you are in there, it's like surreal, like everything becomes real.
It's kind of exhausting also, but it's also like sensory overload. Yeah. Like stepping into like a pachinko like parlor, which is another thing I guess we have to talk about to explain what that is. But it's like stepping into a massive, super massive arcade, except the entire town is the arcade.
It's like a, you know, Japanese, it's like for Japanese people, it's like New York or, you know, Las Vegas. Like
I guess Las Vegas, I think, might be the closest, more,
I think.
To me, yeah, a little bit closer, especially because there's so many pachinko parlors. But yeah, it's kind of like, you know, really touristy. And it's The thing is, I think some people actually live there. Like, you can actually...
There are residential areas. Like, apartment buildings that you can live there.
Yeah, can you imagine, like, living there and, like, let's say you're into cosplay and you just, like, live your entire life, like, full-on anime? Like,
well, I bet it will be a bit exhausting because it's every... Like, every time, like, Akihabara is usually... It's not a calm... It's not, like, a quiet neighborhood, you know? Like... It has some kind of event. There's going to be massive people are all around. So,
but for the weeb among the audience, you know, I think there's a lot of people who are like really into anime, who, you know, if they knew about this place, it would become their life dream to go and live there. I actually know some people who came to Japan and stayed there for like a few months on in an Airbnb in a short term stay, and they're like, yeah, it was the best thing ever. You know, I went to all these underground idol basement concerts and like did all this like cosplay conventions and things, and I'm like, man, it's too much for me.
Yeah, I do get it.
I guess, you know, for a lot of people, like, anime is the window, if that first window into Japan, right? Yeah, kind of was for me in a way. I mean, I think I really got started, with anime. You know, in Canada, they have a channel. Have you ever heard of, like,
Cartoon Network? Oh, yeah. When I lived in America or in the States, I watched Cartoon Network whenever I come back from school.
Did they have anime on that channel?
About it. 6 or 7. I think they were airing Naruto at the time.
Okay. So yeah, that's like a generation after me, I guess.
It's like, I was just so surprised when I heard a dubbed American English version of, you know, Naruto. Oh, holy shit! Can Naruto speak good English? Oh my god, I didn't know that! That was like me and kid at the time.
I feel like you could be a voice actor for like a show.
Man, like, I want to be a narrator, but can't be a voice actor, because voice acting... is like so different. Like, I mean, like, when you dub something, like, it becomes so, you know, unnatural. Like, but whereas when you look at, you know, animes, like, even though it's the screen, the ones that airing, like, you know, the pictures are, you know, moving, and like mouth movage and the voice, it all connects, you know, like, you know what I mean, like. It connects, and it becomes like essentially like you putting a life into a picture. Where,
yeah, it's giving it a soul.
I
do it. Yeah.
I could try it, but it looks a bit awkward because it doesn't feel like the pictures and my voice aren't connected. So that's what people feel a bit weird. I did that at NHK, the convention center, and I was like so surprised that. It looks so awkward when I, you know, dubbed it. And I was like, oh my god. Like,
what are we talking about? Is there like something you can do?
Like 10 years ago, if you go to NHK, you can dub some dramas. Where you can dub something. Like famous NHK dramas. And I tried that and I was like so bummed that like whenever I dubbed it, it looked so awkward.
Yeah, it's definitely a skill. I mean, and it also, I think maybe it's like kind of psychological, because it's such a, you're like, that's not me, but now this thing has my voice. Now it's like, it's kind of me, but yeah, it's a psychological disconnect. You know, it's quite interesting. But no, I think you do have that kind of anime spirit too. So especially when you go, oh my god, I could imagine that as like a Naruto dub.
Yeah, I know, like
or like an Itsuki dub. Like, you should do like we should do a redub of Initial D yeah,
that will be so awkward. Like, yeah, voice of Itsuki, and then I'll be like, hey Itsuki, I'll be like, hey Tak, what's up bro, oh look at my 8.6. And then, like, people start laughing at me, and it's
amazing. And a cap could be a Ryosuke, and then like I could be Keisuke or something.
You
and then...
could be a Keisuke.
Who would be
Takumi? You just drive a yellow car, and you want to?
Indra could be Takumi. I can imagine Indra being Takumi. And it'd be so funny. He's like a Malaysian guy.
I know, right? Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, these are all our friends for people listening. Yeah, they have appeared in the past previous few videos. Indra's our Malaysian friend who is a pro racer, also working in motorsports. And Cap is, yeah, Captain Bradford.
From GD?
Yeah. From GT Channel and whoops. My mind is blank right now. JDM Masters.
JDM Masters.
Yeah. Do you hear they're having some trouble lately with their account getting hacked and videos not showing up in notifications?
Oh my God, that was so nice. Like, I bet Captain was really stressed out with that.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. So for people who don't know, basically what happened was about a month ago, the JDM Masters channel got hacked. And it was fortunately they were able to recover the channel, but I think in the process of doing so, whoever handled the account accidentally flipped a switch or something, or left it unflipped, and basically discovery of all new videos has basically been turned off. So
yeah, I was shocked that like whenever they posted the NSX video, I have to go to the JDM Masters channel and then look for new videos because it didn't show up to my the feed.
Yeah,
it didn't show up with the new videos, you know, section of my, you know, the subscribe videos.
I remember it wasn't even showing up when I did a search. Yeah. Like, you have to literally go into the JDM Masters main channel. You have to, like, and that wouldn't even show up. And then once you're on the home page, the channel page, then you could see it. So it was, I can imagine how stressed Ken must have been to not be able to, you know, get video that he has been working on for months and, like, probably dozens of hours to show up. Yeah, it's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm. Well,
hopefully it looks all figured out now. But I think it might be figured out. But hopefully it gets better.
I hope.
How about you? When are you gonna get your next video going?
Soon. Because my life is boring. Like, boring life is like nothing.
No, it's actually not. Like, recently, I've been watching these... Actually, this is going to sound super, super lame, super creepy, but, like, there's this there's, like, this boom of videos of, like, people showing, like, their morning routine and night routine. Yeah, granted, they're all cute girls, but...
granted.
It is definitely, like, a thing that you could do. Like, this is my morning routine in Japan. And then, like, you know, go to your salaryman life and then come back and get like cup ramen at the konbini. I could totally see it.
Yeah.
I should make a video like that, actually. Yeah, a day in the life.
I think that's another good video idea.
Like, if you think about it, right? It's like you're saying, like, I have a boring life. I'm like, we literally do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm literally doing the same thing all the time.
Uh-huh. No, I mean, like, you know, we're just, like, doing car stuff all the time, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we're...
How's the car?
Oh, my car?
Yeah.
Well...
How long have we had it now?
6 months.
6 months. And in 6 months, how much have you driven?
Over 10,000 kilos.
Oh, wow. So, like, me.
Yeah, because, like, not only I'm daily commuting it, but also, like, I have to take it to, like, I have to do a Osaka to Tokyo round trip, like, 3 times in that car.
That racks up miles.
It's whenever I stayed there for 3 days, I usually racked up, like, 1,500 kilos.
Yep, wow.
So, yeah, like, that's why I think whenever I do it, like, it always racks up. So,
yeah.
But I do drive it to, you know, places like, you know, Hyogo, like Roko, Mount Roko, which is another famous mountain. It's in the Hyogo prefecture, where it's famous for like a initial D, where it's like street racing mecca.
Kansai. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, the roads in Roko are okay. It's not like, you know, nicely paved like a, you know, Gunma's mountain roads and stuff, but it's very fun. It's very twisty and narrow compared to, let's say, Haruna.
So it's kind of more technical, yeah, like a twisty.
You want, you, I think the, this, I think the Spoon S660 can annihilate, you know, GCA or, you know, GDB Imprezas easily.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it'll just floor it. Like, that's a crazy car, the S660. But, I mean, Hyogo, that's kind of far from where you live, right? I mean, how far is it from Osaka?
It's like almost a 1 hour trip.
Okay.
To the Roko, Mount Roko.
That's really close, actually. Come think of it.
My house to Hakone, but yeah.
But distance wise, maybe a little bit further, or
I think it's about a little bit closer.
Okay. Well, it's good you're getting some toge runs in. You make any good friends there, like who are into cars?
No. Like, I try, but it's kind of difficult. You have to be a regular member. It's like, you know, Daikoku, where you go there super often and you start to know people, each other. And then, like, if you have, like, same cars, you can, you know, try to have a good communication with them. But if you don't have any, you know, same cars or, like, something that's in common with them, then it's very difficult.
I see.
Yeah, because already they have the, you know, their bonds together, so it's kind of difficult to start another bond with, you know, some other stranger.
Do you think in general that's the case with, you know, getting close with, like, Japanese people?
Yeah, I think so. That's
maybe especially, like, for a Japanese person like yourself. I think it's not so hard for me, like, as a foreigner, just because, you know, I often think number one, I'm, like, YouTuber, yeah, right? But say, go ahead, sorry.
Because you have the gaijin card.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah, you can just kind of, utilize that novelty factor. And, you know, usually a lot of these folks, they don't already have, like, a gaijin friend. So it's kind of like, whoa, gaijin! Gaijin means foreigner. And in Japan, especially, I think, in the Inaka areas, where it's not like Tokyo, where everybody knows a foreigner, like every Japanese person, like out of the countryside, you might be like their only like foreigner friend.
Yeah, like being a foreigner, sometimes it's cool. Sometimes, but not always the case. But, you know,
But you're kind of like in the middle, right? I mean, you're like, well, okay. So I think everybody's actually wondering, like, what is your story? Like, how come you speak like such perfect English? Like, are you like American or Japanese?
Perfect, to be honest with you.
I mean, it's pretty perfect in, like, 99% of the time.
Well, like, sometimes I do a lot of, I can't do spelling, and, like, my grammars are sometimes a bit awkward. Like, whenever I listen to it, it's like, why I phrased that in a way, such a way that it sounds like, you know, very childish or, you know. Anyway, but, so, my story is that, when I was seven at the time, my parents have to, essentially my dad has to move to, you know, States for his job, because of his job. And our family decided to move because they thought that, I could gain some new skills there than staying in Japan and raised as, you know, typical Japanese kid.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents decided to take me to States when I was a first grade student.
Okay, so you're first grade, and then your whole family moved to the States to give you more opportunities.
Yeah, a lot of opportunities. Not only I get to experience American schools, but also I went to the places that not a lot of Japanese people went, like Grand Canyon, Yosemite National Park, like all these super cool places that I never thought that I could go in my life.
Wow.
And I was very lucky and so privileged to have these kind of experiences when I was super young. So yeah, glad that I did. And I gained English skills by, not in a, traditional, school, Japanese school way, where you start reading textbooks and listening to, some idiotically, very, very, stereotypical Japanese, English, listening CDs,
Mm-hmm. Which is how a lot of people will actually learn.
Yeah.
Is
this a pen? Yes, this is a pen. Like that kind of super, super unuseful, Japanese CDs, listening CDs.
Right.
But I learned from a, real English environment with a real English speakers.
From grade one?
I learned my English from a real, genuine experience, whenever I was seven and I went to the public schools in States, I only had one Japanese student, and that Japanese student is going to leave this school in a month.
So you had a month to get your shit
together. Yeah, right? Basically. So it's I could, try to be a, a quiet kid and not being, socializing with, the students inside the class, or I have to get my shit together and then, have a communication with, the students in the class.
I can imagine your little self giving yourself a pep talk. It's like, all right, Masa, you got to get your shit together. All right. Mm-hmm. Slap yourself in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, when you went to the States, when you were 6 years old, 7 years old, can you speak English at all? Did you have a little bit of...
I knew some words, a little bit, but funny thing is, the first word I learned, first English phrase that I learned was actually, what should I do?
Ah.
Whenever I asked to, the teachers in the class, I didn't know how to ask what's next. So my Japanese student at the time teach me that phrase, and I used it a lot.
So interesting. So he figured out the very useful phrase. He's like, okay, listen, Masa, you gotta know this. What should I do is a very useful phrase.
Why? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. In Japanese, it's what should I do?
It's interesting because when you're that young, it's you pick up the language so much more easily. It's almost your brain is a sponge, and then you can figure out the grammar really quick. But yeah, when you're older, it's really hard, I feel.
Sorry, Abel, I'm just, doing my laundry and shit, so...
No, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah. This is great because, see, podcasts are great. You can just, have, a random chat, talk about all kinds of random stuff, even do stuff in the background, and you can still get stuff done. You can still get the podcast done, right? Oh, yeah, so today, I don't know when he's going to join, but we have another special guest. Destin's going to be joining us for a chat it's actually going to be my first time doing, I'm pretty sure this is the first time I've done like a three-way podcast. So that'll be interesting to see if this works correctly.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, like, we want to do this kind of, you know, daily podcast. Like, let's do it, you know, daily podcast and stuff.
I don't know, daily, maybe like a at least once a week or something, like a regular, well,
not,
like maybe
not like week. You know, yeah, weekly podcast show. Yeah. That will be epic.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like I find almost like doing a podcast is really easy for me.
Yeah,
it's more like just the scheduling. I'm just like not good at scheduling things and sticking to
scheduling. You're Mr. Late Album.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's totally me. Well, I know, like, the thing is, I never try to be late. I'm just like, I have enough time, and then random stuff always pops up. I should learn my lesson by now. But yeah, in Japan, like, being late, super bad. You should always be early for stuff.
You can't be late. Like, whenever you're late to work, you always have to, you know, apologize to your boss first. And then you have to apologize to your colleagues. And you have to, I'll never do it again. Even though you will do it again, you have to say, I'll never do it again.
Oh, wow.
So ironic. And, like, so like, very, very awkward. But anyway.
Have you had to do that to in your company? Or are you, like, you've never been late?
I always be on time. Wow. I always, like, I try to be always 15 or at least 10 minutes before whenever the work starts.
So what are your, can you give us some strategies from your Japanese side? How can we be on time for
just wake up early? 30 minutes early than usual.
It makes so much sense.
Yeah, that's what I always do. So I wake up like 6:30 in the morning, and first I take a bath because, you know, taking a bath in the early morning wakes me up.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I could just, you know, wash my hair and, like, you know, try to smell good because I'm, like, you know, a salesman. I have to be, like, I'm always with someone else, interacting with someone else. So I try to be, I don't want any bad smell and, like, make, you know, some other people, you know, making it discomfort whenever I talk to with someone. So, yeah, that's what I always do. Take a shower, you know, dress up, and then eat, like, a muffin.
I was going to ask, what is your traditional Japanese breakfast? Turns out it's a muffin.
Okay. Muffin and cereal. Because it's easy.
A muffin and cereal, that sounds super unhealthy, bro.
Muffin and cereal. But sometimes whenever I have time, I usually like prepare the rice like late night already. And then whatever I would, it's already cooked. And I grab a instant miso soup, and then
that sounds healthy.
And then pour some egg, the raw egg, onto the rice, and doing some tamago kake gohan.
Yep, like raw egg on rice is actually really delicious. People are like, "Oh, that's gross." No, it's
really good. Yeah, that's what I always do.
Mm-hmm. What about like bacon or like sausage?
I don't usually buy bacon and sausage.
Ah, so like a vegetarian, like not vegetarian, but like a no meat.
No meat breakfast usually.
Interesting. What and like tofu maybe?
Not. I don't usually buy tofu. I don't have I try to be as minimal as possible.
You know, ah.
I try not to buy a lot of foods because, like, I'm the only person that will eat them. So, and I don't want to waste you know foods and stuff. So I try not to buy a lot. So that's why I don't usually have, like, right now I don't have anything in my fridge. So I gotta go grocery shopping today.
So in a way, isn't that more wasteful? Because then you're paying for electricity that you're needlessly
wasting. Milk inside, so at least, you know, that's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I use my fridge as a, you know, storage for drinks.
But not alcohol beverages, because alcohol beverages in Japan are usually expensive, or, you know. And I can't consume alcohol. Like,
oh, really?
I had a one, you know, one can of beer. That's enough for me.
Do you get, like, really, because, like, some Asian people get are really affected by alcohol, almost allergic. You know, they turn really red. They get,
well, like... I'm not that bad, but, like, whenever I drink one beer, like, I feel like that's enough for me for that day.
Oh, wow.
So if I, like, when I was in a, you know, in university, I had a, you know, drink with my friends. I drank, like, two chugs of beer, one cup of sake, what else? One chug of one highball, I think. Oh my god! Like, I drank like five different kinds of alcohol beverages, and I just threw up like 3 hours later, because like my body cannot accept it.
Yeah, especially like when you're younger and you don't have any tolerance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then basically, you know, your body's like rejecting it. It's like, what are you putting into me, bro?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I remember when I was in high school and, you know, first discover alcohol. You know, you go to these, I don't know if you ever went to like these kind of parties, like when you were in high school, but yeah, even when I was like 15, like my friends would throw like these parties when their parents were away, and we would just like drink a ton. And I even now there are some alcohols that I can't drink because I basically threw up while like at that young age, and so I think I developed like a really strong aversion to it, even though like I have nothing against it.
What, for example, what is your unfavorite alcohol beverage, or what is the alcohol beverage that you cannot consume?
There's like this lychee flavored liquor. Oh. Do you know what I'm talking about? I forgot the name of it, but when I smell it, I'm like, oh, I just get sick. There's another one called like Zambuca or something. Let me see if that's right. So it's like a black licorice taste.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is in fact Zambuca. Oh man. Yeah, oh, just looking at it makes me feel sick.
Really?
Black Zambuca. Yeah.
Never heard of an alcohol beverage before, but it sounds like a bad thing. It sounds like bad, yeah. Alcohol.
Even like, you got to be careful because like, you can make yourself hate stuff like that. Like, I almost did that with sake when it came to Japan, because I have to go to these. So, you know, when you work as a teacher at a school, it's interesting because they have so many drinking parties. Mm-hmm. I guess to forget their their daily life, like teaching these darn kids. But yeah, we would always go drinking, and then they would always make me drink so much, just I guess because they thought it was fun.
Uh-huh.
To see how much I could drink. Because, yeah, usually I could drink more than them. I think foreigners usually have a slightly higher tolerance than Japanese mm-hmm. people. So they're like, drink more. Yeah. And so I would just get, like, destroyed, like, on a weekly basis.
Annihilated, right?
Yeah, thank you. I like that. Annihilated. Just destroyed. Just crushed.
That's what everyone happens. Like, whenever, like, it's... You know what the funny thing is? It's like Japanese people, even though some people cannot consume alcohol a lot, but we have this kind of, you know, drinking culture, and then we have this kind of alcohol beverage, you know, like Strong Zero. Have you ever tried those? Oh my god, it's like so god awful. It tastes like a chemical, you know. Whenever you start drinking it, you can realize that it's like it's not good for your body. But for some reason, a lot of, you know, manufacturers start, you know, producing these kind of, you know, alcohol beverages, and like people are so addicted to it, and it's like alcohol addiction is like it's a social issue now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's super ironic. It's like, you know, when people start, you know, even though it's not good for your health, but it's like trying to make, you know, people drink a lot.
It's like so bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, it basically is like it's a drug, but it's a socially acceptable one. And it's actually much worse for you than like other marijuana. Substances.
It's much worse than marijuana. Oh, yeah.
Much worse.
In Japan, marijuana is like, people think it's like, oh my God, you're doing on drugs? Are you on steroids? You know, it's
like. Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. I mean, in Japan, it is considered to be like the same as like heroin or cocaine. It's like the same. It's like no, it's not. But it's just this weird lack. Really, it's a lack of understanding and knowledge about the mm-hmm. topic. And yeah, that's one of the areas where I think Japan is a little bit behind the times compared to the rest of the world. But in a lot of ways, it's ahead of the curve. Also,
mm-hmm.
like socially, you know. For social issues, yeah. All in all, I think, yeah. Even though things like, you know, zero tolerance, like with like marijuana and things like that, but overall, it's still pretty good to live here, I think.
Yeah, so fun.
Would you ever move back to the States?
If there's an opportunity, I would really want to go back. I do.
Mm-hmm. To where? Two where do you go?
Specifically San Jose, because I love San Jose.
Yep.
So when I lived in States, I lived in two different places. One, I stayed 1 year in Boston and 2.5 years in San Jose. And since I lived San Jose more, I really have this kind of, you know, a vibe where it's like San Jose is my like second hometown.
So you're Cali
boy. I'm a Cali.
Yeah. Basically, Cali boy.
And that's why it's so funny, you know, a group, Eliminate Crew, they're from San Jose. So I might met them whenever I was in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so funny. It's like,
because it kind of same time, right? Like it is possible. So yeah,
so it's like so funny that I never thought that, you know, I've been to San Jose's car, you know, car events once or twice in Japan, San Jose, and I do remember there was like super cool Evo parked alongside of these cool JDM cars, and I was like so surprised that I thought these kind of, you know, modifying cultures were only in Japan, but it's like States, and I was like, holy shit, they built their cars like so cool, and I was like, God.
Oh, hey Masa, let's take a quick break. I need to hop onto like another meeting real quick. Okay. So will you be free in 30 minutes?
Well, yeah, let's come back at like 10.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good. Okay. So let's rejoin this. So we'll take a quick intermission, everybody, and then we'll catch you in a bit. Hopefully, Dustin will be free. I think he's at the gym right now. So maybe for part two, we can chat with Dustin as well. Okay, see you in a bit, Masa. Hey, Masa. Welcome back.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And with Abo and Masa Loves Cars.
And Dustin Williams in a minute now. Let's see if he has, unless he has connection issues, because this might be his first time. I'm enjoying my coffee.
Dude.
Nice hot coffee. Do you drink coffee, Mori?
No, actually. I usually drink
tea.
Yeah.
Green tea. Well, right.
Right now, actually, I drink a blue. Oh!
Oh! Welcome. A challenger has entered the arena.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Sweet. Yes. It works. Awesome. Welcome, welcome. We're just talking about coffee and
what's tea. Up, guys?
Oh, all the way. God. The Dustin Williams.
I'm here. That's crazy.
God. We're in Japan.
I miss you guys.
Yeah, so do I, Dustin.
What?
So do I. Like, I miss you.
I know.
Yeah, man. It's been a year already.
I know, dude. How crazy is that? It's almost like a little bit over a year. It's nuts, man. And I hope everything gets back to normal soon.
Yeah. I mean, over here, it's like we're in a state of emergency, but honestly, compared to around the world, it's not even that bad. It's like restaurants close at 8 p.m. Like, that's really? It. That's pretty much it.
No, to be honest.
I wonder when they're going to open up, man.
To the country to let people in, right? I feel, well, the state of emergency is going to continue for at least like another month. So maybe after that, I think, because they haven't canceled the Olympics yet. So I think maybe just hoping that's going to happen. Right.
Well, hopefully in May.
Yeah. Are you kind of like just waiting, like whenever it opens up, you're like, all right, I'm good
exactly,
to go.
Exactly, yeah. As soon as I hear when it opens up, we're buying tickets and I'm coming out.
And yeah, hopefully it's gonna
be soon. Right? What's going on, guys?
Yep, nothing interesting, but pretty good. How about you?
Just staying busy. How's work going for both of you guys?
Well, you know, I'm ducking out from work right now. I had a meeting this way, which it pushes 30
minutes.
Wait,
so do you guys work from home?
Not too still? Bad.
Or no?
So I'm working from home. I've been working from home for almost a year, but I think Masa has to go to work, right?
But today is my day off, so yeah, I'm like,
oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm like free from like all day.
Masa's day off. What are you doing your days off, Masa?
You know, just chilling at home, you know, doing laundry and shit.
You're a grown man now, Masa.
Yeah, just doing my own shit.
You gotta do your own laundry. You gotta make your own breakfast. Wash your own dishes. It's hard, man. I mean, like when you first live by yourself, like
I was a mess.
It's like you have to do.
I was a mess. Yeah, Masa, I have a question.
Yeah,
how do you like Osaka versus Tokyo?
Oh, that's a good question, Mr. Dustin, Mr. Williams.
I got you there.
Living in Osaka and Tokyo, to be honest. They're both in a good and bad ways. Like in Tokyo is more crowded, but you have a lot of cool stuff in Tokyo. Whereas in Osaka, it's like 80% of Tokyo.
Right.
It's like 80% of Tokyo. Like you have these like same like stuff available in Tokyo, but it's like the size, like the sheer experience is like 80%.
But don't you feel like the vibe is different?
It's very different. It's like
is it slower?
I don't know if I would say it's slower. It's more like it's more crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's very unique.
Tokyo's like more organized. Like everything runs perfectly, but like Osaka's like more like an organized kind of chaos.
Interesting.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. It has a very unique flavor to it, like Osaka. When you go to like the middle, like downtown Osaka, it feels like you know you're in Japan, but you're not in you know stereotypical Japanese type of you know urban areas. It's like very unique and different.
Really?
You ever meet any like in my experience when I've met you know Japanese people abroad or even in Japan, like the people. The Japanese folks who are kind of like the crazy type, the kind of like really like zany, like really over the top type, they tend to be from Western Japan, like Osaka area. Whereas Tokyo is more like more serious, business. Like more buttoned up,
more subtle. It has kind of like Western culture inside.
Or, right. You
know, they're more introverted and they're more, more. Outgoing type of people in Osaka, whereas in Tokyo it's more quiet and more subtle.
It's harder to make friends in Tokyo, I think. It's easy to make friends.
Why do you say that?
I think it's because like You can go drinking and you can just like make friends with people. Go ahead.
I think it's like, to be honest, the core of it, it's still Japanese. So they always make groups. And when you tend to make groups, it's really difficult to get into the group. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, but to be honest, if you get accepted to them, it's more easy. Whereas in Tokyo, even though they accept you, still you have to get going in order to gain their trust.
Right. That's interesting. Is there a food difference between Osaka and Tokyo?
Yeah, there are. Like, for example, broth of udon, which is like a big, really thick noodle thing.
Right.
I think you've had that before in Tokyo. The broth are more thicker. Broth in Osaka. They usually call it usu aji, which means it's less thick, and they use more, like Tokyo use more soy sauce base, whereas in Kansai it's more about dashi base.
Ah, I see.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that's interesting. I love the food, but I also love the culture in Japan. So, what, like, is there like a cultural difference? Like, do you guys have in Osaka more maybe like shrines or temples kind of stuff to go visit there more than Tokyo, you think?
I think so. Especially in Kyoto, there are so many shrines and temples, and the views are magnificent.
That's what I've heard.
Cool spots in Kansai that you cannot replicate in Tokyo.
Right.
Tokyo is more about urban culture and like urban cities. In Kansai, it's like a mix of both. You can tap kind of urban culture, Yokohama style, you know, buildings and stuff in Hyogo. And Osaka is like, you know, typical, hey, omachi, irashemase, oni-chan, nani yattono, mitaina. Very Kansai flavor culture in Osaka, especially in downtown. And you have these cool Japanese traditional temples, shrines, and all these beautiful sceneries in Kyoto and Nara. So they are all closed in one small area. Whereas in Tokyo or Kanto-sai, you have to go to drive 1 hour, 2 hours in order to see these kind of, you know, picturesque scenic places.
Right.
I think Kansai is so compact in a good way that you can have good experience in 1 week and you can have everything.
So what you're saying is I need to come to Osaka.
Yeah. I think we should do a road trip to Osaka.
I haven't really, you know, announced anything yet because there's no official plans on when Japan opens up, but a series that I would love to do and I want to include you guys in on it, and I don't know the logistics of this because of, you know, work obviously and stuff, but I would love to do some kind of cross-country Japan road trip.
You know what, Dustin, do you know the channel called Gears and Gasoline?
Of course I do.
They're doing they've done a 40 drive across states.
Yeah.
They're at
in the RX-7.
We could do that.
We totally could, yeah. Maybe like less brutal. Like I feel like doing that RX-7 is masochistic.
But like doing that kind of video.
Hell yeah.
It will be so fab. It will be like, oh my God, that would be so amazing. With your 34 GTR, maybe also you can have your Forester STI on it.
I think that would be incredible.
It's just, yeah, we all sleep in the tent. We'll pile into the tent.
Yeah, Aldo has the upper hand here.
And that would be so epic. I can imagine that.
Yeah, it would be nuts.
It would be so interesting because like, not too many people do car trips, especially for foreigner-based, you know, YouTube channels doing that kind of stuff.
Right, and so that's why I really want to get into that. And as soon as, you know, Japan opens up and the travel ban is lifted, I really want to come one time and, you know, kind of get the feel with you guys and see what would be best to maybe do that with you guys. I feel like it'd be awesome and kind of show the viewers, you know, cross-country and all the different styles and cultures and ways in Japan, because like it's so different every place that you go, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, like last year, we actually I was developing this show for Discovery Channel, and like it was literally this show. And then like sadly, you know, like because of budget issues, like it didn't materialize, but we planned the entire thing out. So I think we could basically do that whole trip. And I think the really cool part would be the different perspectives, right? It's like Dustin, like you are kind of like the, like you see everything with wide eyes, and it's really new for you, right? And then I've been here for like 10 years, and like Masa's like Japanese. Yeah. So like that mix would, you know, let the audience feel it from like different angles. I think that'd be really
cool. Also for me, like as a Japanese citizen, it's like so interesting to see it from other perspective views to the Japanese culture. And like for me, everything is normal. Everything is like very, like I get really surprised. But whenever you guys get surprised with some Japanese stuff, I'll be like so interesting. It's like for me as a Japanese
citizen. Yeah, it's like normal life for you, right?
You can kind of like
for me it's like normal. Everything is normal. Everything is like so nothing is that kind of, you know, interesting. But whereas for you guys, especially you, Dustin, like you get so surprised with, you know, a lot of Japanese shrines and everything. So that for me, that's so interesting and so.
Yeah, even for me, it lets me live like vicariously through you. Like I've already lived it, and I'm like, oh man, yeah, I remember that feeling. Oh yeah, that's how I felt. That's awesome.
It's like me going to States, and everything that I see in States is like so cool.
That means you gotta come visit.
I do. I want to visit. I want to visit SoCal. I want to experience SoCal.
Yeah, you guys need to make a trip out here. Come see the shop and everything. Come see the cars here, and I'll show you some in and out. A little bit different.
I want to.
Masa, we should just do it, Masa, and like not be able to like
then you're stuck with me.
We'll just be like bums living in the shop.
Yeah, I want to do that. Really want to do that. Man, I want to help. I want to go. Oh my god, like dude, I saw your video today, Dustin. Like, oh my god, that corgi is so cute.
Oh, he is the cutest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. I was just taking him out just now.
Congrats. Oh my god, that's like, oh my god, I wish I had like that kind of dog in my life. I have the dog.
Man, it is exhausting. I'm so tired though, like taking him everywhere, staying up with him all night. It's exhausting, but it's so much fun. Like today we went and picked up a new engine for, I can't say what it's for, but just know we went and picked up a new JDM engine. I took the dog and had to carry him in like the front backpack and everything. It's just so funny.
Oh, it's so cute.
He's 7 weeks old.
7 weeks? Oh,
yeah. Man. He's a fresh baby pup.
Like that for him, it's like everything that he sees is so interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I'm trying to put him in the cars and take him places with me, so he kind of gets used to like being in the car and seeing everybody and being in a shop, stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe he could be a. Is it he or she? Sparkle is.
Sparkle is a he.
Oh, okay. Then he could be like a good, you know, buddy. Like whenever you go, you take him and like experience, like, you know.
Exactly. That's the goal. That's the whole goal of him. Got to get him used to traveling and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I love his like short little legs. Oh my gosh. Like, just waddling.
You see him waddle around. It's the cutest thing in the entire world.
Oh my god.
So, last question here. Last question, Masa.
Go ahead.
Car difference. Osaka versus Tokyo.
Oh man,
I gotta know.
Kanjo Zoku. Masa's the newest leader of Kanjo Zoku.
Driving habits in comparing Tokyo and Osaka is much worse. People drive like in Osaka compared to Tokyo. I was so shocked that like everybody weaves lane to lane. It's like so bizarre. It's like whenever your left lane is so vacant, people try to cut off in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
In Tokyo, it's like everyone's calm.
Right.
Not too many people do that. Like, Osaka people are so, I mean, I think they're always rushing into something. That's right. Why, like, driving, like, kind of like a maniac sometimes.
So is it kind of like, is it kind of like Tokyo where you guys, like, have parking areas and you guys have those meets at night and you maybe, like, run the highways and stuff? Is it kind of like the same thing as Tokyo, like Daikoku?
There are some kind of place areas in Osaka that they have these kind of, you know, nightly hangouts with, you know, in Daikoku and stuff, but it's more compact.
Right.
And
heard lots of things about like street racers in Osaka.
Oh my god. Oh my god. They drive like a fucking maniac.
Yeah. They're like, Osaka's known for Kanjo Zoku, which are, they're the guys in the Honda Civics who drive around like the Kanjo Loop, which is kind of like, we have the C1 in Tokyo. They're kind of like even more crazy.
It's like Kanjo Zoku and everyone. I think Osaka is more focused on a ballsiness of, you know, driving habits, whereas in Tokyo it's more about the driving perspective. Driving it clean is more, Tokyo is more focused on driving it clean. Whereas in Osaka, it's more focused on your big, how much you have bigger balls than the other.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. That's why everyone drives like a fucking maniac.
That's pretty fun, though.
It's cool. It's so cool to see. And people do, like, in Osaka, street racers are more about Boso Zoku style, where you show off your, how much you have bigger balls than you are than other guys. Whereas in Tokyo, it's more about how much you can get a cleaner lines in that time.
Right.
You know what?
Yeah. It's almost like in Tokyo, the street racers are all about like being really fast, like getting good times. Whereas in Osaka, it's more wild. It's more about being crazy and even like kind of like showing off, like you're doing something crazy. And they're really into specifically just Honda Civics, like Honda Civics and Integras, like Hondas, basically. Yeah,
Hondas are a really big thing in this area, but those Hondas are usually like, you know, loud ass, you know,
right? That's so funny.
Typical Honda noise, but more louder, more creepy.
That'd be a sick build, Dustin. Kanjo Zoku build.
Oh, what you doing?
God.
Oh, there he is.
He's playing around. He's wild. Hey, buddy. Now. He just woke up from a nap. He's like, I know. Too bad he can't do it. He's like getting more comfortable in the house now. So he's like developing a personality. He sleeps 80% of the day, and then the 20% of the day is just him being an absolute wild animal. No,
does he pee everywhere?
So
he
goes outside. Yeah, he is so good. Wow. He whines when he has to go outside. He goes and sits by the door. He already knows. He sleeps in his kennel.
Whoa. Yeah,
he's so good. I don't know. He is a good boy. He's a good little new boy.
Whoa. That's cool.
There's something about a pet. I love my little poodle. You gotta get one, Masa. Although it's really hard to get pets in apartments.
Yeah, I really want to do it, but I can't justify it.
It's a lot of extra money, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of extra money, and you're limited to some apartment that you can't. Like, you're limited. You're limited to everything when you have pets.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is you can't just take off, right? You can't just like take off for like 2 weeks and like go on like this long ass trip. You gotta take care of the dog, let them stay somewhere.
Say hello, Sparko.
If you come back, are you gonna come back with tea, or are you just gonna?
It depends on her work schedule. But I mean, the goal is for me to stay, you know, extended time. So whenever I don't stay too long, then she's able to come. But when I do stay, it's Poppy come by myself. The end goal here is I want to actually have a place in Japan.
Oh, you want to live in
You want to have a second home in here.
Just some, like a small little place for when I do come have somewhere to stay and I can keep a car there and stuff like that.
Whoa. That's the end goal.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Well, actually, I know the fact that some Japanese companies have started building these garage homes, which they are like really cool and like so modern.
That's what I'm looking for, Masa. That's what I need.
Yeah, it's like a...
I just want like the smallest little shack that can hold one car.
Yeah, there is one that's right now, it's on sale.
House Finder Masa.
I always look for something interesting for cars.
You found both my car.
I found your car. Yeah,
found everybody's car. You found Dustin's car.
Well, I didn't found Dustin's car, but you know,
man. Yeah, I think. So Dustin, if you end up getting a place here, would you stay here several months a year, or would it be three months, or
probably an extended period of time
kind of thing?
It really depends on, you know, at that point in life, what's going on, you know? So, I mean, I want to learn the language, you know, I really want to get accustomed to everything. And I just love everything about Japan, the culture, the style, everything that, I think it'd be worth it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in order to experience Japanese culture, you have to be in Japan for extended amount of time. Whereas if you can experience some kind of Japanese culture for a day, week or so, but if you want to experience fully, you have to be in Japan for at least 2 to 3 months so that you can have these cool experience in here, and when you come back, and you can experience both good and bad sides of Japan. You know, when you're in the States, and you can have these kind of cool aspects of, you know, having these experiences in multiple cultures at the same time. And you can make a video about it, and people will be really interested.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the goal. I mean, I really want to show what it's like getting a car built in there, but not only just having a car, just like showing the culture and showing the different lifestyles and showing all the different aspects of Japan. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you can start, you know, talking, conversing with people in a little bit of Japanese, the world just really opens up. I think you've been learning.
I tried teaching myself and it just doesn't work. I need to actually get an instructor and someone that can be one-on-one with me, you know. And then I also want to, once I can start, you know, doing little things here and there, I want to have a pen pal, so you guys be able to write to you guys and you guys tell me what I'm doing wrong and kind of write to me as well, you know.
Oh my god, that would be so funny.
I know. Exactly.
Postcards.
Teaching Justin how to speak Japanese. Japanese
what? I send you guys a postcard and everything is just horribly wrong.
I can tell, but you know. Everyone has to.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I just need to get some time and get an instructor. I know there's online coaching, which I think would be perfect. And that way I can just, you know, learn really just the basics and you just go from there. I think talking with you guys in Japanese is also going to help me a lot. I can pick up things here and there. And I think that's just where it's going to start.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think because you have the desire to learn, and it's it also kind of fits in with your life, for business and stuff and, you know, your interest, everything kind of connects. You know, I think a lot of people, they don't have one of those pieces. They like the idea of being able to speak Japanese, but they don't have a real need to use it. So then it's very hard to bridge that gap because they have to really force themselves. But, you know, you kind of have it's a means to an end. So there's a perfectly reasonable reason to spend so much of your effort to do it. Because really, it takes a lot of effort. Yeah. Right? It's consistent effort. Yeah, it's interesting. Even a lot of people here in Japan, foreigners who come here, they figure out a way to just get by without speaking any Japanese. And live here for like 10 years.
That is wild.
Being able to speak a lick of Japanese. And then
I feel like to really understand and appreciate, yeah, you have to, whether it's like you can only pick up things here and there. I think I feel like you have to understand and be able to speak a little bit to really appreciate and understand really know what you're doing.
Yeah. You know, as some people say, do as the Romans do. So you gotta have to, you know, you have to, if you want to experience it, you have to blend into Japanese culture.
Yeah, exactly.
And in order to do that,
I also think you can do some more interesting and deeper things in Japan when you can actually speak the language and mm-hmm. feel like you can get a little bit more appreciated
mm-hmm.
for making some sort of effort with how formal the Japanese are and stuff.
Yeah,
and it just makes exactly. it so much more fun for
and
you
being
too,
able to form
right?
my first accent. Sentence and talk to somebody in Japanese, you know, that's going to be a huge milestone, and it's fun setting little goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as some people say, life is an RPG game, so so yeah, like you could just, you know, if you want to experience it, you gotta have to train yourself, you know?
Right.
And that's why I think you're doing it in the right way, you know, trying to, you know, start, and everyone starts from somewhere. Like when I first started to speak English, the word that I only could say was, what should I do? So so yeah, it's like you can ask like some Japanese people in Daikoku, random Japanese people in Daikoku, and say, kakkoi ne? Kuruma kakkoi ne? And they'll be like so happy to talk with you because you're really cool. Yeah, it's like for Japanese people, it's like so cool to talk with foreigners, and especially the foreigners start speaking English, people are more likely to help you out because
right,
and because they're interested in you rather than in talking to, you know, some random Japanese guy. They want to talk right, with right. some random foreigners, you know?
Right, right.
And then
this is really exciting.
Yeah, like I bet you can have more fun when you're talking, you know, to Japanese car guys in Japanese than trying to have a, you know, sure, like if you want to have a good conversation, you want to have some kind of middleman or like, you know, translator to, you know, translate and stuff. But
right, like, right.
If you
that's can, why I have you guys.
Yeah, well, that's why you have me. Rather than Mr. Albo, who cannot speak Japanese fluently, you know?
Yeah. I'm calling you out, Albo.
Yeah, to be fair, I need to, since I started working at this current company, it's like my opportunity to speak Japanese has plummeted.
Yeah, I know. So I need when I see your videos, like some Japanese word that you are saying, it's like you using it in like the wrong way, you know?
Damn, I'm getting called out here.
Let us know
here.
How you really feel, Masa.
Well, like for me, it's like so interesting. And like for you, it's like I'm in a good, like, lucky position where I can speak both English and Japanese, and my English is not that perfect, but you know. I guess I could, you know.
It's pretty good, dude.
It's like it's pretty good level, you know. But like all the Japanese aren't that in the same level, you know.
Absolutely.
So I have that kind of opportunity where I could have a, you know, I could be a translator for Japanese and for foreigners. So for American English speakers,
Masa, you're an American trapped.
A lot of
Japanese
people say a lot of foreigner friends say that kind of stuff to me. I'm like a banana type of person, you know? Like, outside is yellow, but inside is white.
Oh my goodness, you are... Oh god, that was great. That was incredible.
Yeah, I always... But people
that
refer
to
me
be, that needs to be your Instagram bio.
Banana person. I'm yes. a banana type of person. Yellow on the outside, white on the inside.
Oh man! Oh yeah, Dustin, help me convince Masa.
Come on,
put
Masa.
Out his second damn video on his channel.
What do? Should I do? Should I have to do a Japanese 101 like, you know, when Mr. Filthy Frank did it back in like
Oh yeah, why not? Why don't you do like a video where you teach us like Japanese 101 for car guys?
Absolutely. I would 100% watch that.
That sounds dope. Just like go around and like point out stuff in your car.
Dude, that is gold.
This is how you say this in Japanese.
Viral material, Masa.
Viral material.
Yeah, man.
Good afternoon, guys. Mr. Weeaboo Masa here, and I'm going to teach you guys some random cool-ass Japanese words.
I would watch it.
Dude, I will spend my life recording that video.
Every day. Yeah, right.
Like, I have to rewatch the video over and over. You work. Actually, to be honest, like, that's like a great idea for like a video series. Yeah. It's like one Japanese word a day with Masa. And like, you just teach some random word in each video. And like, it's like a vlog. But then today's word, you teach how to say
tight. Or like a bread seat. Burrito. Or
wheels.
Like a lot of people mess up maybe Japanese names like Koki, like, you know, S14 Koki.
Mm-hmm.
People usually say Kuki. And I was like, what? Why do you call it fucking Kuki? Kuki means air, motherfuckers.
It's so like, how do you correctly pronounce that?
Koki. And then, like, bread, people call it bride, and it's like, oh my god, it's burrito. Burrito. Why are you guys just saying bride? It's not your fucking bride, Rio. You're not gonna marry the fucking sea.
Dude, this is a video. This is a video. Right,
clip this.
Booty. Clip this. Clip this and put it. Yeah. Oh, yo, what?
God. Okay, Masa. Video what? This week? Can you do it? Can you put out a video this week, please?
I really want to watch that video. Go to fucking Brent and just ask how to pronounce burrito.
There you go. That's the perfect first video. How to pronounce
burrito? Whenever you come straight to America, we can go out and you can ask random Americans how to pronounce Japanese words, and then when they say it wrong, you correct them.
Hell yeah, that would be funny. Funny as hell.
That's right. Where you were born. You
I was stop. Born for YouTube.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Watching in 1 year. Like,
I know.
He just surpasses all. Masa loves cars. The biggest YouTube.
Biggest, shadiest content.
Could be real.
Yeah. And someday or some form, I want to be like starting my own merch.
You want to start doing
merch? And I want to start, you know, elbow the racing gear. It's like so funny. Why do you call it elbows? It's like so funny.
Because it's mine. That's what.
It's like me saying Masa's. Masaki no racing gear. It's like so awful.
Have a banana boy.
That would be so hilarious.
Hey, banana boy racing.
I have a good idea.
That's it.
Why not Legendspedia and Elbows collab together and make some limited edition merch?
We absolutely should.
Yeah, like limited offering, like for like 30 sets of like something like Shifna, but you guys both collaborate each other and make this kind of awesome Shifna that can match with every kind of car from S2K. And you guys both have S2Ks, right?
Oh, yeah,
you guys can use the like same Shifna, and you guys can have a, you know, Japanese side and American side. That would be so epic.
Absolutely. That sounds pretty awesome to me.
And I really wanted to have your Legendspedia Shifna when you launched it like 6 months ago.
Well,
I really wanted to have that. But
send me a message. We may or may not have some still in the warehouse, so
we may or may not.
So send me your thread pattern.
Thread pattern? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that right away. Yeah, I'll do that right away. Or maybe, maybe, yeah. Maybe, maybe, you know, maybe I want to get some kind of new car.
Uh-oh. You tired of the Type R?
Oh. He's been talking about, Dustin, he's been talking about it a lot.
Actually, my goal was to get a R35, but since a lot of people are doing a R35 content, it won't be funny, but, and not only that, but R35 is like, maintaining R35 is just, it's not in my budget. It cannot justify with my budget.
Right, makes sense.
Like, tires are so expensive. Like, everything for, you know, R35 is, like, pretty most expensive. Most definitely. When I come to think of it. It's like, so what I was thinking was maybe I want to get a GR Yaris.
Really? I am all in for that idea.
That's a great idea.
I am so jealous that you guys get that and we don't.
Yeah.
Four banger all wheel drive. It's freaking sick, man.
Yeah.
Actually, it's three banger. What? Three banger all wheel drive. Yeah. Three light, most lightweight and most powerful three banger.
That is freaking awesome. I think it looks sick too. I'm all on board for that idea, Masa.
Yeah.
I would watch that. Like, since that content.
Since I live in Tokyo, I have connections with, you know, Toyota dealerships. Maybe not. I might get a good, you know, offer, and maybe not. I could get a good car.
Awesome.
Maybe.
No, dude, your car's already okay. Number one, your car's already sick, and I think you have like everybody wants to see those videos of your FT2.
Yeah, you need to make some FT videos.
I also am on board with this
FT2 video, yeah. Right? Yeah. And that's another car that you guys cannot have.
I know.
You guys got a Civic Si.
I mean, we can do the conversion, but it's not as cool.
Yeah, it won't look legit. Whereas in Japan, it's like everything is like Type R or nothing.
Got to make that channel, Masa. Hey, look, there's nobody. There's like no. I was gonna say no foreigners.
there's no banana YouTubers, man. This could be you. This could be you.
Yeah. Banana YouTuber. I'm a banana. Okay, I'm gonna change my Instagram feed.
I want
to banana. I'm a banana YouTuber.
All right, I'm 100% gonna make those that banana Zoku merch. I'm gonna send it to both of you. But Masa, you gotta
infiltrate. Why I have to infiltrate?
Yeah. And just release why aren't you gonna
do it first, bro? Why not?
Yeah, I have the footage, but man, so much of it is like too illegal to show. So. Oh man, so that's kind of the problem with that. So I'm still, you know, talking with them, like, okay, doing these cuts and showing them, like, actually, please delete this.
Everything has to be removed.
So. Honestly, yeah, it's like, man, this video is sick, but then I have to cut 90% of it. It's like, it kind of, makes sense, but it's kind of a bummer. Because, yeah, they're wild out there. You know, they're like, I remember when we went out for like a night out, it's like Bosozoku style. They just blast through like every light, every street, like just like complete don't give a fuck. It's crazy. But yeah. Yes. We'll do it when we go visit you.
Oh, Alvo, let's talk about your, you know, project car of yours. Aren't you getting a Skyline Coupe?
Actually, so hang on. Yeah, I want
the Yahoo auction.
The one you were showing us.
Why? Really? It got sold already?
Yeah, it might have gotten sold, right? I'm not sure. I have to check it. But yeah, nice. Masa was suggesting, because I want to get into drifting, actually. And absolutely. I think a Skyline Coupe is a really cheap, really good option.
Yeah, like, sure, if you can do drifting in a BRZ, but, like, What do you think about drift building a BRZ or drift building a G35 crew? Which one is better for you, Dustin? Because you experienced with the BRZ.
I mean, there's just so much aftermarket, you know, support for the BRZ that it's like super easy and it's really cheap. But I mean, the G35, I mean, that's not bad either, you know. But I think the BRZ is just, there's so much for it.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the cost is like the, like this, okay, it's actually still for sale. Also. Like this one is like, geez, $4,000 for.
That's 40,000 like miles.
80,000.
Yeah, 40,000 miles. Like, yeah, 40,000 miles. Like very low.
Yeah. Very low.
That is.
And
nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'll try to buy it for my birthday.
Exactly.
Next week, the 13th.
Next month. Oh, speaking of which, yours is next week, right?
February the 13th, before a fucking Valentine's Day.
That's right.
And you already got a corgi for your birthday gift.
Yeah, so I got it.
Aw. Man. Man, you're living in a life, bro, Dustin. Like,
not until I'm in Japan.
But, like, I mean, that 570S, oh my god, that wheel, and, like, that brakes, holy shoot.
It's pretty rad, man. I still like my JDM cars better, but it's definitely a fun car.
It's just a cool car to, you know, drive, you know? I never sat in 570S, but I sat in 650S once.
650S,
and that car was magnificent on like corners and stuff. I was like so surprised at how the car handled.
It's pretty insane, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like another level.
So
that's
compared crazy. To your G, so you have all of these cars. What's your favorite?
I think my favorite is still the R34. That was just my ultimate dream car, and having that one in Japan and like actually getting it built over there, like that's an experience that's unbeatable.
Mm-hmm. And that car must be your keeper, right?
Which one?
R34.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep all the generations of my Skylines.
Oh really? Yeah, I think you should.
And I'm gonna have a GTR collection.
Yeah, you have the GT. You need to get a Hakko and Camry.
At a million subs, I'll do a Hakko.
You gotta get a Hakko. You gotta get a Hakko.
Maybe we can do is like you can set up like a business as like a like you have your cars and it's technically it's a museum. Like that's technically the business, but like you know a kind. The only business here, like you're gonna just like sleep in the office. That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty sick. Mm-hmm.
Like a little showroom kind of thing.
Yeah, you need to have a cool ass garage home in Japan. That would be like so cool. And it, like when you're in Japan, you can do a podcast and like a you know live, Twitch live stream in Japan. And doing some racing sims? Oh, man, that would be so
That would epic. Be pretty freaking sick.
And then not only that, maybe we can go, you know, go to your house and do some collaboration. And, oh, yeah, Dustin. When you come to Japan, you got to go Akihabara. And I'll take you to one of the most weirdest, you know, most insane thing in Tokyo.
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Like you can collect, you can have all many Pokemon cards you want, but it's everything and it will be Japanese. So you can learn Japanese from it too.
I'm already there, Masa. I'm already there. My body.
Yeah, you gotta have to have a JDM version of Pokemon cards, and that will be another fun content for you. JDM reviewing JDM version of Pokemon cards. Which one is better?
Oh, that's a great idea.
That's a great idea. That's the move in 2021.
Or maybe I. Yeah.
Hey, bros, I gotta take off. I have actually like running late for like another meeting.
Part two.
But this is super fun. Let's
part do this again. Next week.
Next week, part
I'm
two.
I'm down. Next week, I'm down. I'm down. I'm down.
Sweet. Well, guys, I miss you so much. It was so much fun talking to you. Keep in touch, and I can't wait to hop on for episode two.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Okay, see you guys.
Thanks, man. Bye. Thanks, Dustin. So, I'll catch
you guys later.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. So, I hope you enjoyed that super, super fun podcast with Masa and Dustin. We will be hopefully doing these on a regular basis because they're just so much fun, and it's just so much fun to catch up with each other over podcasts. You know, I'm a huge fan of podcasts like, well, I guess I'll just tell you my favorites. Let's say, obviously, Joe Rogan's podcast. I just love how he has these awesome long-form conversations. I really also love Tim Ferriss's podcast, where he's able to kind of take lessons from experts that he talks to. And also, I love the Gary Vee podcast because, you know, he's extremely motivational and he's a big inspiration for me. So hopefully this podcast will continue along the lines of those, you know, those inspirations, and with my own twist and my own touch on it as well. And hopefully these will keep getting better and better. And hopefully it will be a little bit more regular because I know you guys love these podcasts. I love doing them too. They're just a little bit hard to stick to a schedule because, of course, with, you know, guests, we have to kind of work around their schedule, and it's sometimes hard to get people to agree to a date, especially when there's more than one guest. But I digress. I'm really looking forward to the next episode. And you know what? Let me know on Instagram as well. Send me a DM and maybe just comment on the latest post if you listen to this podcast. It doesn't have to be the post about this podcast. It could be, you know, any most recent post. And just tell me what you thought of this podcast, and let me know what kind of guests you would like to have on, who you would like to have on. It's probably easier if there's somebody I already know, some within my circle of friends that are living here in Japan, or not even living in Japan, but, you know, maybe somewhere abroad, somebody that I know. And I would love to have them on the podcast as well to just have a nice long-form conversation, nice chat, and just, you know, just talk about whatever. So that's pretty much it. I just want to say thank you guys so much for, you know, supporting this podcast, and not just a podcast, of course, you know, my brand and the YouTube channel, and special huge thanks to a couple groups of people. Number one is my patrons. Thank you so much for your support. Your contributions are really helping to fuel this rocket, you know, this not quite a rocket yet, but hopefully it's going to be able to, you know, really go somewhere. I really love doing these, not just these podcasts, but making this kind of content, and hopefully in really collaboration with my patrons, with you guys who are really supporting this this content, we'll be able to take it to the next level. And I'd also want to give a huge shout out to all the folks who are picking up the merch. You know, I had a whole bunch of hoodies and shirts made, and a bunch of hats, and, you know, for this run of the Hunters like hoodies and shirts and stuff, I'm almost sold out, so I'm gonna have to do like another run. But I'm also going to release a new drop very soon. I'm thinking either another Hunters run with a different design, or an Albo's Racing Goods drop. Or a lot of you guys have been asking about the Super JDM Bros logo on some merch. It was a lot of fun to make that logo, so I'm looking forward to putting that on some merch as well. So yeah, keep an eye out on that, and I'm going to be dropping that very soon. And let's see, any other news, any other things to check off the list that I need to talk about? A couple things. So number one, I've been getting a lot of questions about when the next documentary is coming out. You know, every week I say, you know, it's coming out this week, it's coming out this week, but I will 100%, you guys can hold me to it, I'll release at least two big documentary videos this month in February 2021. Actually, they're two parts of the it's two parts of a quite a long documentary, so it's I think about 45 minutes if you break them up into if you make it into one long video, it'll be about 45 minutes, but each video is about like 22 or so minutes. And these videos will really go in depth into you know, I'll just tell you guys what the topic is, and it is about my experience with, also my friend's experience with the Midnight Club. And we are going to be telling you an amazing, really, really interesting story about how we're kind of connected with them and how, you know, we have gone and gotten to know them and hung out, and we have filmed a whole bunch of stuff. But, you know, due to multiple members having to, you know, put in their say, you know, a lot of the stuff that we filmed, we still can't release it until it gets cleared. And we also have this other aspect, which is that one of our members is pretty involved with some of their activities. And I guess that's all I'll say about it. But it's a very interesting story. And you could say, in a way, it is kind of like a passing of the baton from, you know, that previous generation of OG legendary street racers to, you know, our current generation of car enthusiasts. So that's the first thing. Let's see, the second thing, and I will just quickly touch on it, but a lot of people have been asking me what happened to the Raising Hearts movie. Well, you know, the movie is really more or less finished. It's probably like 85% done, which really means I have like another 20 hours to put into it. But, you know, I could bang that out over like a weekend. But the reason we haven't released it yet is actually because of some not exactly legal issues, but due to the fact that we filmed a lot of this movie kind of really guerrilla style, and we filmed it on public roads. The area that we filmed it in actually has come under a lot of heat lately. There have been kind of some very public arrests that have been made there of car enthusiasts who are, you know, really enthusiastically running the toge. That's probably as best as I can put it. And unfortunately, you know, some of these folks are people that I know personally, that my group of friends knows. They were personally affected, and we're also like a little bit worried about, you know, what we show in the movie. Although we tried to really, you know, we filmed it as safe as possible, we took as many precautions as possible, we are a little bit nervous just because, you know, because of that whole area is a little bit hot right now. So we're just gonna wait for that whole thing to, you know, just die down a little bit, and we'll figure out a way to release it, because honestly, guys, this movie is pretty awesome. You know, I mean, it is kind of amateurish, so I don't want to make you guys think like this is some huge Hollywood level blockbuster in the making. This is really an indie movie. This is kind of like my first real try at making something that is like a narrative. And at least the past 10 years or so, you know, I remember when I was like in my early 20s, or when I was like in high school, I would make like these really cheesy short films, which were really just like a bunch of super amateur hour stuff with my friends. But hey, you know, you got to start somewhere. And this movie, which we made, Raising Hearts, I'm actually really proud of it. It's a bit rough around the edges, I'm sure, but we were able to kind of, you know, get together, work hard, and bring that vision, bring it to life. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy it when you're able to finally see it. So hopefully we'll be able to release that. My guess, my feeling is, I think maybe this summer, I think will be an okay-ish period of time for it to come out. So that's it. Thanks again once more for listening to the podcast, and thank you for supporting the channel and everything, and we will catch you in the next episode. And make sure to drop a comment on Instagram. My Instagram is albo_media, albo_media at instagram.com. And that's it. So thanks again, and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Take care, much love, and peace out from here in Japan.